Okay, here we go. Stand by. 3, 2, 1, action.
Assume nothing.
Rash, bald-faced blasphemy.
Question everything.
I find it extremely hard to imagine.
Open your eyes.
It is quite all right to be an atheist.
The fastest growing group of people in the country has been measured as being those who have no belief or who are atheists.
You don't have to be apologetic or quiet about it.
Challenge the opposition.
You see religion on 100 fronts losing the argument.
And start thinking. This is The Thinking Atheist Worldwide.
I owe a great many people an apology today. You see, at the end of the last broadcast we did, I was talking about the option of whether or not I should get Google Home or Alexa. A-L-E-X-A. Do I just spell it now? Because apparently whenever I said the words at the end of the broadcast, and then I would talk about something else, I was activating people's devices all throughout the listening audience. People said that it happened in their cars, it happened in their living rooms, it happened in their offices, and then they would send me messages and say, you activated my Alexa. Oh, shit, I think I just did it again. I said the word. You activated my A-L-E-X-A. 3 times during the broadcast. And of course, it became something that we could laugh about. But I am sorry. Sorry about that. I'll try to be more conscious and not activate those devices by saying the word, well, that word. Yeah. Those we don't speak of. A-L-E-X-A. But it was a funny anecdote I thought I'd share with you. Just, you know, weird problems that technology brings, right? And a great story to talk about here on the radio. This is the audio. It's actually a kind of a streamlined, whittled down audio version of a live stream podcast. It is just audience questions and comments and my responses, just kind of a stream of consciousness show. But I think hopefully a compelling and entertaining broadcast for you. And then we'll kick off the month of August with some pretty thick stuff we're going to get into. First week of August, a show called The Church, Crimes, and the Constitution. I'm going to talk to a guy who is extracting himself from Christianity, but still fears hell and wanted to talk about it. And he was cool with talking about it on the radio. And we're going to do a show in August called I Used to Believe Weird Things. And so if you used to have a weird belief, like I always say, I used to believe that if you played certain rock albums backwards, you could unleash demons. Like it's that kind of stuff. If you used to hold a really weird belief and you'd like to submit it for the broadcast or even be a caller on the show, you should email podcast@thethinkingatheist.com. Anyway, I hope you enjoy the streamlined version of some audience Q&A and host commentary from the YouTube live stream. I was attempting a few minutes ago a Google Hangout, and I've just had awful luck with Google Hangout. It's not just the fact that the video resolution sucks. It's not just the fact that when people are coming in and out of the room, there's all kind of background noise and who's muted, who's unmuted, and everybody's fumbling with the interfaces. It's just not fluid. And so here I am back to the live stream where we get a chance to see everybody in the chat and they can throw questions and comments my direction. It just seems to be a more fluid. I mean, I miss having the voices of the listeners, but we can try that, you know, in another forum that's not video related. It'll be a bit easier. So anyway, if there's something you'd like to sound off on, if there's anything you want to do or say, the chat room, hopefully I'll be able to see whatever that is. If I don't give up on me. But anyway, I was shamelessly using Rad Dog to remind everybody that I, like everybody else on the planet, get support for what I do and pay the bills with sponsors, but also via patrons. And if you are not a patron of the show, please know how much of a difference it does make. And you can go on patreon.com/SethAndrews and you can decide if you want to support for, you know, per upload or whatever. And set a cap, so whatever's comfortable for you. And it's got to be hard probably for you because everybody and their dog is making that pitch, whether it's a content producer on YouTube or whether they're funding a documentary or whether they are a musician who's making a new album or they're funding some other form of art or production. Everybody wants a piece. I get that. And, you know, the shows are what they are. But if you really do get benefit and you would like to reciprocate, it really is appreciated. Patreon.com/Seth Andrews. Diamond Jack asked me, thank you for the contribution. How do you deal with superstitious people? Superstitious people come in all shapes and from all backgrounds and all personalities. It really depends on the person. I think the first thing to remember is we treat them like human beings. Second, we remember that many are victims. Most, I think, are victims of bad ideas. There are a few con artists and scam artists out there. But, you know, most of the people I know are, they're good despite their superstitions, and they are embracing really bad ideas because they are victims of childhood indoctrination, cultural reinforcements, bad science, bad teaching, bad thinking. And, so, you know, when dealing with the superstitious, I try to be charitable at first. I know it's hard. It's frustrating. But if we're going to change minds out there, I think we need to see humanity first. And then we can deal with the ideas, good and bad, after. How do you feel about Trump's $12 billion bailout for the farmers? Alexandria, I really don't know. Just recently off the, was it his speech at the Veterans of Foreign Wars, a speech where he said, essentially, don't trust your eyes and ears. Don't trust what you hear and see, which is so Orwellian. It's like it was lifted directly from 1984, and it just hurts my heart. I'm talking with Andrew Torres on a broadcast in early August, and we're going to have to talk. I'm sorry. We have to talk more about the Trump administration, the theocrats, the attack on church-state separation, the attack on science, and Trump's a big part of that. I know there's Trump fatigue out there. It may be part of that design, right? Maybe they're just wanting people to just give up and opt out so that they aren't participating in the processes. But it's important info, and we're going to cover it. So please be there. Please listen. Please absorb, and then hopefully take some action. Matt asks, how long did it take your channel to make an impact and be known? Well, I started small. The YouTube channel went up in 2009. I had a few hundred views with my first few videos. And then over time, it just sort of slowly grew. I don't have a formula for success. You know, the big thing for me was I had a background in production and communication at a time when the atheist movement needed polish and storytellers. And so I sort of came along at a good time. There's a lot more production now. There's a lot more storytelling now. We can always have more. But I think it would be harder to, you know, kickstart this sucker today than it was in 2009. Beyond that, my tactic is just to try to be real, be myself. My thing is we want to learn stuff and help people. And so, you know, as long as we're doing that, I'll continue to do the broadcast. John said, I loved your comments about how we Brits have a go at someone. Oh, you didn't like the Trump hot air balloon, John said. I thought it was brilliant. More brilliant, actually, was the person who went through and took the photos of Trump visiting in London and airbrushed him out or photoshopped him out and replaced him with the balloon. And so you see the Queen, and then there's the Trump balloon, and you see all of these formal activities in the Trump balloon. And I thought it was brilliant. I thought it was just amazing. What are your thoughts about Kavanaugh and his possible impact on Roe v. Wade? I'm going to put you off on that question because Andrew Torres and I are going to be speaking about that very thing. Beyond that, I do have grave concerns about Roe v. Wade, but I think they're going to chip away at Roe v. Wade and not try a full-out repeal. But Andrew Torres of Opening Arguments is an attorney, and he knows a lot more about this stuff than I do. We're going to see. Greetings from Canada, says Kat. Pence is a fake Christian, as all Christians are. Lee, what does that mean? When I was a true believer, I genuinely did believe. I genuinely believed in God, Book of Genesis, Noah's Ark, Jesus on the cross, the Book of Revelation, the end times, the rapture, heaven, hell. I believed it all. I was a real Christian. So the fact that I believed at least one person there would then nullify the claim that all Christians are fake. A lot of them genuinely are true believers and are genuinely trying to do the right thing. They are simply victims of bad ideas. Seth, why does it seem so difficult? Joel asked to break into atheist activism. How do you define atheist activism? It depends on what you're good at, what you're passionate about, what you want. If you're saying, why is it hard for a podcast to get noticed in an ocean of podcasts? I mean, that's just a numbers game. Everybody's doing it, especially these days. Why is it so hard to get my blog read when everybody's got a blog? But you don't have to be on stage at a major convention to be an atheist activist. If you have a secular bumper sticker on your car, you got a, you know, a coffee mug that says something humanistic at your desk, if you are loud and proud or at least marginally open about the fact that you are skeptical of religious claims in full view of other people, friends, family, neighbors, coworkers, strangers, you're an activist. You may not realize it, but you are a promoter of rational thinking and anti-religious nonsense in your own life. Now, how do you translate your non-belief into something larger? Really depends on your gifts. Play to your gifts, play to your strengths, what you're good at. If you're not a great verbal communicator, podcasting is a bad idea. If you're not smooth or you're not comfortable on camera, YouTube is a bad idea. If you don't write well, blogging is a bad idea. And yet I find people will jump into a waters they're not comfortable in because they think that's what they need to do. Find out what you're good at. Shelley Siegel is not a podcaster, but she is an amazing musician, and she writes music that promotes rationality. So she's playing to her gifts. So find out what you're good at. Start there. And then start where you are. Don't try to change the world overnight. Start in your home, your region, your neighborhood, your inner circle. Outer circle, you know, if that's going to happen, it will probably happen organically. Jessica said, do you have any steps to get over the guilt of getting away from religion? Jessica, it's a great question, and the answer is this. Who put the guilt there? Wasn't you. I mean, you may have embraced it at a time when you thought this religious belief was real, the guilt of doubting. But that guilt is actually part of the problem. And the problem is not you. The guilt is a mechanism to keep you under the thumb of those who wish to control you. Why would you feel guilty for wanting to be good, for wanting to pursue what is true, for wanting to ask questions and get reasonable answers, for not towing the line, for not lining up behind all the other people to be just like them? Why would you feel guilty for celebrating humanity, the diversity of the human condition, beyond these holy books? You know, if there's guilt there, guilt about doubt, well, that came out of the church. That's something they planted in your skull. Guilt about your own identity, your own personality, your sexuality, that's something that was planted there by the church, and you can uproot those. You can understand that they are mechanisms for control, and you can reject them. And realize that, as Magna Bosco said about street epistemology, you know, doubt is a virtue. Doubt is virtuous. The rejection of bad ideas is a good thing. It's something we should embrace. Being honest enough to say, I don't have all the answers. I mean, that's amazing. You know? So my advice to you would be, I mean, it's difficult many times to control our emotions, but my advice would be understand what it is. Understand how it got there. And then just step by step, day by day, I think time is a great mechanism for overcoming. Daryl asked if I have a podcast discussing the origins of the doctrine of hell being added to Scripture. No, I don't. I was going to attempt it, but it's such a broad freaking topic, I was actually intimidated. I was overwhelmed. Maybe in the future. Corbin said, love your show. Have you heard this one? My dad believes God will remove all knowledge of me going to hell because I'm an atheist. Meaning, how could he experience perfect bliss in heaven if you were burning in hell, which is one of the arguments against heaven and hell? And his response is, God's going to wipe my memory so that I don't really know you. And of course, that means your father is not really your father anymore. The whole argument falls apart. What happened to Iron Chariots, the website? I have no idea. I thought it was still up, a great counter-apologetics resource. Do you think YouTubers, Vix asked the question, you think YouTubers like Ted the Atheist do more harm than good toward the movement? I don't know who Ted the Atheist is. I think there are people out there of all shapes and platforms doing good, and there are others that are doing great harm. And it's, you know, part and parcel of living in a free speech culture. I don't watch a lot of other content, don't have time to listen to a lot of other content. I know that there are some bad apples out there. All we can do is try to elevate the discourse where we are and be about the good things and speak out against the bad. Michael, thank you for the donation. If I'm ever in Columbus, Ohio on a Tuesday night, look up Omnipresent Atheists. Evening of social drinking. Not much of a drinker, but if you got coffee or a root beer, Barks Root Beer maybe, or A&W. Dragon asks if I'm ever coming to New York State. I actually am possibly going to the East Coast in the fall. I was approached by a free thought group in Virginia. I don't know if that's going to come to fruition, but it does remind me to let you know what is on the calendar. I will be speaking in Milwaukee, October. Oh, shit, let me go to my own calendar and look this up. SethAndrews.net. I'm at the point in my life when if it's not written down, it's just gone. September 8th, I will be in Milwaukee, hosted by the Milwaukee Humanist. September 9th, I'm going to be speaking twice in the Chicago area. The first event is for the Ethical Humanist Society of Chicago. That's a morning event in, is it Skokie? S-K-O-K-I-E, Illinois. And then that late afternoon at 4 o'clock, I'm going to be at Oak Park, Illinois. That's September the 9th. Well, it looks like I'll be in Minneapolis, St. Paul at the end of September. That's still coming together. November 10th, I'll be in Clearwater, Florida, and November 11th in Orlando. SethAndrews.net. You can find the speaking page, or I will eventually get the events page updated at thethinkingatheist.com. I'm actually on the hunt for a web developer. God, it's crazy. I went on social media and said, I'm looking for people who would submit resumes for web development. My web developer has been amazing, but his company has sort of gone in a different direction. And so he doesn't have the time to maintain my site that we both would like. And so he's been very candid. And he's like, look, you may want to explore some other options. And so I guess when you throw that query out on Twitter, the bots or algorithms or whatever you call them kick in. And before you know it, you get solicitations, I guess, from all over the world, from people you've never heard of saying, we are a web developer. We would love to serve your site. Now, many of these are in broken English, so I'm guessing they went through translators or something. And, I'm genuinely still on the hunt for somebody who really does speak the language of website development beyond Wix and Weebly. But if you're interested, you can send a message to podcast@thethinkingatheist.com. Diamond Jack, geez, thank you very much. Last question. What do you think of movements on the left personally? Antifa, Black Lives Matter, the SJWs, PC culture, third generation or third wave feminism? Jesus, Jack. Well, I think Antifa is, to see the sort of reckless abandon with which they operate, I think they have become what they despise. I support Black Lives Matter. I'm not an opponent of identity politics, providing that we are looking at the specific, often marginalized identities in order to identify them, how they have been the victims of injustice, and how to help them. I'm not a fan of the term politically correct. You know, a lot of times when you say something and they accuse you of being politically correct, you're simply choosing better language, or you're avoiding language that in the past was embraced, but we reject them now because we realize the implications. I mean, some people can argue it's politically correct to take down all those Confederate statues in the southern states. I'm sick of all this PC culture. This is part of our history. But actually, if you look at it, it's a cultural rejection of icons that represented the enslavement of minorities, of human beings. I don't want those to be my icons. You can put them in a museum and you can give them some context, but I don't want to put them in our public squares, in front of our courthouses. We have better ideas. There are better statues to put up. And the same goes with so many other types of things that we don't do them now because we don't say them now because we have become more enlightened and understand, they can be awfully damaging. Now, the downside to that, and I think this is what you're alluding to, is we have seen such a knee-jerking overreaction into outrage culture that the laudable efforts to try to speak and live and act better, you know, have actually in some ways, in some places, devolved into a hypersensitivity that has made people essentially useless. And I find this maddening. And it's, this is not popular to say, and I'm sure I'm going to take it in the teeth. I'll be quote mined by some, you know, somebody who's going to run with this. But we need to be operating as charitably as we can out there. We need to be doing our best to try to not surrender the high ground. It's true. But we're also functioning in the real world. And as I had said on Twitter a few days ago, while we are trying our best in good faith to operate charitably out there, in a lot of these instances, people just need to grow a goddamn skin. And that's how I feel. Not everything is a reason to hit the roof. Not everything is a reason to fly off the handle on a blog article or to write a report about this or to call out somebody and name and blame and vilify and carry on. Not everything is a reason to lose your shit. You'll get nothing done in this world. It's unpopular, I think, for many people to hear that because they then knee-jerk into, well, if an injustice is done against someone who has been marginalized, or if someone used a gay slur against someone, or was racist against someone else, or was guilty of marginalizing someone because of gender or sexuality, sexual orientation, or whatever, that I just said, suck it up and grow a skin, right? Which is, in context, not remotely what I said. But it doesn't matter in the Twitterverse, because when people are busy knee-jerking, when they only see the tiny phrase and no context, I'm working on a presentation right now I'm going to be giving throughout the fall that talks about the difference between having information and perspective. And you and I, you know, we have to be, we should be anyway, very cognizant of what we do and say in a sincere and genuine effort to try to elevate the playing field and to help other people. And so if, you know, if somebody says, well, you know, Redskins for a football team name was, it actually has a kind of a negative connotation and we should consider changing the name of the football team. It's weird. I don't have a problem with that because it's a derogatory term about a race and culture. And I think there are better ideas. If you want to take down Civil War statues, I'll help. I think it's a great idea. If we want to be about better ideas, fantastic. But, you know, when you got people going through Trevor Noah's Twitter feed to find something that he said in 2013, and then now his reputation and perhaps career are on the bubble, especially in light of all of the great work Trevor Noah has done at The Daily Show and beyond to help promote diversity and speak out against injustice and to be about better ideas and to help people and to draw a big flashing circle around the insanity of this world and why we need to oppose it. If you look at a tweet in 2013, is it really reason to set this guy's career and reputation on fire and discard him outright? Is this what we've become? Absolutely not. People just need, in this and many instances, to grow a goddamn skin. Let's say he screwed up. I made a mistake. I blew it. I'm sorry. These words used to have some power. And I do believe that a lot of people do have the capacity to understand and acknowledge and forgive. Many people do have a tremendous capacity for forgiveness. People have an enormous capacity for that. And others do not. Who in their lives hasn't said something stupid or made a mistake or had a bad idea or done something publicly even that they regret and wish they'd done differently, better, whatever? People will literally make it their mission to bring you down, your reputation, everybody associated with you down. Over what? Over the fact that you, like them, are just a flawed human being who makes mistakes? I don't buy it. And I think, you know, we need to be operating charitably out there. We need to try to be correct in the way that we act and react to people. But I don't buy this line that everybody everywhere who says anything, especially in forums like from the comedy stage, geez, their job is to push the envelope. Sometimes their job is to shock. They are performing. Grow goddamn skin. Sorry for the diatribe. Jack, thanks so much. John says, have you heard the BBC In Our Time, The Apocalypse? I have not. The Book of Revelation is a head trip, too. Wow. Eli Bosnick did like a summation of a story out of Revelation for my Seth Andrews Teaches Sunday School podcast. You should look that up on Blog Talk Radio or on YouTube. Seth Andrews Teaches Sunday School. We may have to do another one where we pull out some of these obscure stories in the Bible that very few people know exist. And we draw a big circle around him and say, hey, this shit's in there. And I had Eli Bosnick of God Awful Movies. He did the final story out of the Book of Revelation. And it just reveals how bad shit the whole book really is. I hope I don't mess your name up here. Is it Syria? Syria DeFlora? Any tips for aspiring book writers? Oh my gosh. Well, I don't know. It's the blind leading the blind. Write what you know, obviously, is the advice that everybody gives. And it's good advice because I've actually started a few projects that I was interested in, but I didn't, they weren't my sandbox. And I found myself just clumsily navigating through the paragraphs where when I did Deconverted and Sacred Cows, the work was just flowing out of me. It was just, and you know, even Ghost Stories coming up here in September, you know, because it was my interest and because it was my passion and because it speaks to production and those types of things. I learned how to write in my style because I was already writing other things. And I was writing everything. I was writing letters. I was, you know, writing a journal. I would write in whatever capacity I could, many times just to organize my own thoughts. And those who find themselves struggling with the organization of their own mind, what do I really think about this? How do I navigate through the details, the complexity of this? Honestly, sitting down and hammering it out on a keyboard with a, you know, Microsoft Word or whatever is actually a really good tool for knowing your own mind and for getting the dust to settle on where you're at. When I speak in public, I will often write out my thoughts well before I put the PowerPoint together. And having hammered things out and adjusted language and seen what words, what punches, what pauses, what works, what flows, what doesn't, seeing it written down actually does help me. And before you know it, you've developed a style that is your style. And then that can be the foundation on which you then put together a book project and make it about something that you know. Write what you know, a couple of sentences a day, even if you delete them tomorrow. Write them today. And that's a really tough one because if you're at a creative wall and it happens to everybody where you look at the computer and you think, I have no idea what to say. I will force myself to type a small paragraph and then the next day I will look at it fresh. Sometimes I'm like, hey, that's not so bad. Other times I realize why it is bad. I immediately delete it and then I'm able to write that and another paragraph. But write something down, click save, and then walk away and look at it the next day. Always be producing in some form. Do I think there's more room for more atheistic literature? Yeah. I think literature of all kinds. Have I ever done the topic, have you ever tested God? Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. I guess we could. The problem is that, as Sam Harris said, was it Sam or was it Dawkins who said, believers count the hits and ignore the misses. And, you know, God is silly putty. So if you're saying, well, I tested God because I prayed when my 9-year-old child was in the hospital after an acute bout of pneumonia. And the next day she was miraculously better and she was home before the doctors and nurses ever said that it was possible. People embracing that will say, he passed my test. You'd have to probably make it more of a scientific test. Could I get enough mileage out of that? I mean, you know, you've got James Randi's $1 million challenge. $1 million if you can prove the supernatural, and so far that money is well in place. James said, do you believe the Bible as a whole is immoral? No. Now, you can make the Bible be whatever you want it to be. You want it to be about love? There's love verses in there. Love thy neighbor as thyself. You know, if you want it to be about charity, it can be about charity. If you want it to be about honoring your wife, love your wife as Christ loves the church, you can make it about that. If you want it to be about goodness in whatever capacity, you can find a section of the Bible that has something in it laudable. And if you want it to be about hate and bigotry and torture and pain and slavery and those types of things, you can make the Bible be that as well. The Bible is hugely problematic. It's immoral to sell the Bible as a whole, as fact, as truth with a capital T. But the Bible is a complex work. And, you know, you can cherry pick. Hell, churches do it every 5 minutes. You can cherry pick something beautiful out of, especially the New Testament. And, you know, even though I don't think the Bible is a very well-written book, some of the myths would have been interesting just as myths, sold as myths. I mean, the Noah's Ark story as a myth might have been interesting, you know. Yeah, it's a Gilgamesh ripoff, but, you know, the idea that a god came and did something just like the story of Hercules and Perseus. I'm trying to think of who the gods were who came, who wanted to save humankind, be a sacrifice. Was it Osiris? I'll have to go back and look. But, you know, the Bible itself, I just think we reject it as the book. We reject it as a credible source of science, history, morality. Dinah says, can you reconcile a belief in the Christian God with looking both ways before crossing a street? It was right when I started the channel, we did I have a video called Divine Protection. That talks about all the people who claim that the most powerful creature in the universe has their back and protects them daily. And yet they, you know, they got mace on their keychain, they got handguns in their holsters, they've got gun cases at the house, they've got deadbolt locks, they do their seat belts, they're always worried about injury and death. So, you know, yeah, I find it hugely telling that people who claim divine protection are always talking about potential danger. And this was very much the truth when I was growing up, you know. Don't stay out too late. Don't walk down this alley. Hell, almost everybody in my house has a handgun. And my family has a handgun or rifles or shotguns or whatever. And many cases, it's for personal protection, and it's because they genuinely don't believe they are protected. Let's see. Diego says, will I ever interview Tim Minchin? Would love to. Have sent messages to his website. He's a big fish, and I've never heard anything back, but you know, that's fine. There are a lot of people who I have not been able to get on the show, but they're pawed at by so many people. There are only so many minutes in the day, and I understand that. He has no obligation to do my show, but I'd be honored one day to have the chance to sit down and chat with Tim Minchin. If you're not familiar with who Tim Minchin is, put the name Tim Minchin into YouTube and just watch the songs pop up. They're brilliant. Amber said, just want to let you know your interview with Lucian Greaves, followed by more research, prompted me to join the Satanic Temple. Hey, Amber, that's awesome. You know, it's weird. I never thought I'd be a fan of the Satanic Temple. When I was a devout Christian, if you'd have told me that, I would have been like, you got to be kidding me. And yet, you know, the fact that they are just an atheist organization that loves kind of theater and tweaking the sensitive nerves of religious people. And they're also really, really strong critics of those who cross the church-state line with all these Ten Commandments monuments and everything. They're out there making a difference. Here in Oklahoma, they have this Ten Commandments this big concrete statue thing on the courthouse steps. And of course, all the Sunday go to meeting Christians are like, yeah, it's amazing, God and country. And without realizing what happens when you blur the church state line, all of a sudden the Satanic Temple's like, oh, cool, you're allowing religious imagery and symbolism on taxpayer funded property. We'll be right there with our Baphomet statue. And of course, everybody lost their minds. And this was one of the first times that many of these people had come to the realization that, hey, wait a minute, maybe we should protect church and state. Maybe we should keep them separate. I have reached out to Chris, to Sam Harris, about having him on my show. I usually send an email a year to the organization Never heard back. But I would love the opportunity. Celeste said, do you age? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. My arthritic knee will answer that question for you. Do I have footage online from when I was a believer? I don't have... I mean, I've got, you know, some old photos of me from private school. You can see a couple of those from Temple Christian School and KXOJ Radio in a speech I gave called Seth Andrews Turns 50. It was at the American Atheist Convention. There's also a broadcast from several years ago called The Christian Radio Days, where I found I just had a few really, really, really old clips of me back in Christian radio. And I played those. And then we talk about Christian music. I miss Roy D. Mercer, says Mr. Dave. Best thing to ever come out of Okay, let me give you some context here. Roy Mercer was the product of the KMOD 97.5 classic rock morning show with Phil and Brent in the morning. And Roy D. Mercer was one of their characters. I can't do Mercer very well. But there's a ton of material out there online, YouTube, and elsewhere where you can listen, where Roy Mercer just calls people up and gets them all riled up. Oh, this is R.D. Mercer, and I'm calling here to complain about this. And the poor person on the other end of the line is like, well, what? And then he makes up a story. Well, I was over there last Tuesday night, and, you know, y'all did this, and I'm offended. I'm going to come down there and whoop your ass. And that's his shtick. You're either going to pay me this money, or I'm going to come down there and I'm going to open up a 55-gallon drum of ass whoop on y'all. And they get people so worked up on the phone and riled up. And they've been around for 30 years. Well, they were around for 30 years. And, I mean, they call dentist office. And they call tree growers and bowling alleys and somebody's relative. There was one lady, she backed over a gas pipe with her car in real life. And so they got the... I guess her boyfriend set her up. So he had Roy Mercer call her early one morning. He's like, hey, you know, y'all, are you the woman that backed over that gas pipe out there? And she's like, oh, yes, that was me. And he says, well, you know, my stepdaughter, you know, she was over there and that was next to her house. And now her grades have gone down in school. And I think she's addicted to gas. She's been over sniffing the pilot light. He says stuff like that. And believe it or not, some of these people take the bait. And they're like, what? I'm gonna come down there and I'm going to get me a couple hundred dollars for compensation. Or I'm going to whoop your ass. And they get hung up on. And it's just it became this big thing. And of course, there are a lot of people who are who try to emulate Roy Mercer. Brent Douglas is still doing Mercer, I think, on some other stations. Phil Stone passed away a few years ago. Look up Roy D. Mercer, and you'll find some entertaining. I mean, I found it entertaining. Okay. How big a boy are you? Yeah. Yeah, that's right, Scott. You get it. Did I ever meet Christopher Hitchens? He died in 2011. I'd only been an atheist for just over 2 years. But his work was so pivotal to me that I would have loved to thank him personally. Anybody else have anything before I call it a day? This is an absolutely true story. Let me back up and give you the backstory. When I was a kid, I used to wait at my grandparents' house for the ice cream man. All right. This is something that kids do. They hear the bells, they hear the music. Oh, mom, dad, the ice cream man's coming. And so anyway, I still remember the tune from when we would sit out on the porch at my grandma's house. It would be, you know, this, I can still sing the song. Da 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 da. So anyway, we move into this new neighborhood last March of 2017. We have an ice cream man. He drives this big yellow van. And he blows through this neighborhood at high speed. I don't know if there are no kids who live on the street or what, but he just blows through the neighborhood. And so I finally, as a joke, I sat out front. I mean, I happened to hear the bells and I grabbed my video camera and I caught him going by. And I went up into the production room and I sped up the van so it looked like it was doing about 50. And I added some smoke, which could have been like weed or something coming out of the windows. And you hear the engine roaring. And then you hear a cackle from the inside of the ice cream van. And then you hear death metal. So you know, going on as he goes by. And I posted it on the neighborhood Facebook page. And everybody thought I was hysterical. But I mean, the truth is, I can never catch the guy. I'm 50 years old, but I still love me a bomb pop. Remember the bomb pop? It's like frozen ice. It's red, white, and blue, or I don't know what the order of the colors are. It's just frozen sugar water. Delicious. I've been waiting for the ice cream guy. So I told Natalie, I'm like, today I am getting a bomb pop. So I have on my clock, I've got 11:10. He comes by about 2:30. Today I'm literally stalking the guy. So as he rolls by in the yellow van, the other challenge I have is that when I see the ice cream van, I always think, have you seen the movie Iceman? About, they call him Frosty. He was based on a real life serial killer who used to, he and Richard Kuklinski used to freeze people for like years and then defrost them so that authorities couldn't figure out times of death. So whenever I buy like a bomb pop or an ice cream sandwich, I wonder if they have a body back in the freezer that they're keeping for a couple of years to confuse the time of death. So I don't know. I mean, that's just something that that's on my plate today. Anything else before I call it a day? Do I think the faith healer should be charged when kids die? Ultimately, it's the responsibility of the parents. But I think the faith healer should be part of that. I think the claim of provide, essentially, they're claiming to provide a medical service. They're claiming to be a type of physician, channeling an untried, an untested power or unproven power. So, yeah, maybe they should be prosecuted. Yeah, I think maybe I do agree. If they claim healing for a child, both the parents and the faith healer are both or all three on the hook. Jay Free says, any advice for how to talk about atheism with my young kids who were being raised in the faith? I think just be real and be honest. Yeah, life's a journey. There's this weird narrative that kids have that parents have all the answers. I think it's okay to say that we don't. You're still learning. We're still asking questions. If you learn something and you want to help tell me about it, come teach me something. Whenever I sign books for kids, sometimes it'll be like young people. I mean, four-year-olds aren't reading Deconverted, but if I sign something for a 14-year-old or 15-year-old, I always try to write, make every day a discovery. And I like the idea of making life a discovery and standing against this notion that not being religious makes you sad or pathetic. You know, live a good, happy, secular life in full view of the kids, including the kids. And they then become living examples, living refutations of these wrong-headed narratives that atheists have no purpose, no life, no joy, no charity, no community, no love. M. Lenage says, thanks for the show. 200 SEK. What kind of currency is that? By the way, thank you for the donation. What is that? SEK? What currency is SEK? Before I call it a day, I got to find out. I must know. Those are two things that must happen. I have to know what SEK is, and I have to get a bomb pop from the ice cream man. Swedish krona. What's the conversion? Hang on. Hold on. Hang on. 200 is $22.70. Thank you very much for the donation. That's cool. Super chat's kind of something I hadn't really used much before. It's part of, you know, this YouTube live stream mechanism. It's not really why I live stream, but I won't turn it down. Trust me. It's interesting when you are essentially self-employed, you are a content producer for a living. There are no small things. So whenever people donate through the Thinking Atheist website or they become patrons at patreon.com/Seth Andrews, or whether it's a sponsor that isn't afraid of atheist in the title of the show and actually chooses my broadcast and they're a good fit. I reject a lot of advertisers because I just don't buy it, and I don't think you would either. That stings a little bit, too. You know, it's harder sometimes than you think to say, please keep your money. That's often kind of hard. But so if you hear someone on the broadcast, it's really because I genuinely think they belong there and because you would like them. Roger says, religion does not own morality, and Roger is absolutely right. Okay, there's nothing else. I guess I'll call it a day. And I appreciate you. Thank you for watching. Thanks for being a part of it. I am at a point where I have most of the day's goals. I have some interviews I'm doing tonight. Most of the day's goals are done. So I may reward myself by streaming Outlast 2 on Twitch. If you don't know what Twitch is, it's a place where people go and broadcast as they video game and do other stuff, I guess. I have a game channel. I'm a shit gamer. I'm terrible. I have no reflexes. I was weaned on the Atari 2600 with one joystick and one button. That's all I know. But I do enjoy it. It's something fun. It's distraction, rather. It's bubblegum for the brain. It's twitch.tv/SethAndrewsTTA. If you want to find the channel, and we may try a stream of Outlast 2, which, be warned, is a horror game about a guy who ends up inside sort of a hillbilly cult filled with human sacrifice and witches and all manner of... Just the only upside is it's not as violent as the Old Testament, but it's still pretty intense. If you're interested, we'll try to stream a broadcast later on today. You are appreciated, my friends. Just keep kicking out there. Keep having the conversations. Keep inspiring and instilling doubt. Keep staying curious. Keep making every day a discovery. And I will see you next time.
Follow The Thinking Atheist on Facebook and Twitter. Watch dozens of original videos on The Thinking Atheist YouTube channel. And visit our website for resources, links, contact information, the editor's blog, and more. TheThinkingAtheist.com.